Good morning. Let me add my happy Mother's Day to all of you celebrating today. It's wonderful. We're really excited about this new series, this idea of exploring God. There are times when we have questions. There's things that kind of rattle around in our heads, and yet we don't always find places that we feel comfortable talking about those things. Asking those questions, expressing those thoughts, and our desire and our hope is that in these coming weeks that this will be the kind of place that allows you that freedom. We can have some good conversations together. Today we look at the first of a number of questions. It's a big question. It's a question that in some form or other we've all kind of thought about at one time. It's this idea of, does life have a purpose? Now, the prevalence of the question and the seeking of the answer seems to put this in the realm of things that are common to all people. There's a sense of this being a universal search. I went on to Amazon and I kind of searched through books that would be related to purpose and came up with about 50,000 titles. And then I went on to Google, which we all do, and I typed in this phrase, finding your life purpose, and just like that, over 59 million links. People have been thinking about this. They've been asking the question, and some of those links, I suspect, are people trying to provide us with answers. One anonymous author has said this, the two most important days in your life were when you were born and when you figured out why. That's how essential this idea of purpose is. The two most important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you discovered why. I believe that many of us struggle with coming to grips with the why. Why we're here. Why we exist. We definitely don't share the conviction that was so confidently declared by Maximus in Gladiator as he sits on his steed, ready to go into battle, giving the great motivational speech to his troops, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Well, we're not sure what we do in life echoes anywhere. In our laundry room that looks like a tsunami just rolled through, in the endless cubicles at work, in the shambles of our relational landscape, we're not sure what we do in life echoes anywhere. Let alone in eternity. But living in that space, just grinding it out day in and day out, it'll dry up your soul. Because we long for more. We were wired for more. And I think deep down, we know it. Does life have a purpose? It's a fundamental question. My worldview, like many of yours, is shaped by the conviction that God exists and that He is intimately involved in our lives. Now, you may not share that conviction. That's okay, that's your choice. But today, I want us to think about the question before us from that premise. When we think about, does life have a purpose? I want us to think about it from the premise that God exists and that He's intimately involved in our lives. And so in order to answer the question, we need to go back to the beginning. Why are we here is a great question, but perhaps a better question to start with is, how did we get here? Might help for us to know the answer to that. And for that, we go back to Psalm 139. It's a beautiful passage. King David gives us a wonderful picture of what the start looks like. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. What a beautiful picture of creation. Friend, I want to be more specific. That's a beautiful picture of your creation. Your creation. Fearfully and wonderfully made. From time to time, we get you to speak truth to each other. And I want us to do that this morning. I want you to look at somebody sitting beside you. I want you to actually make eye contact. And I want you to say to them, and then have them say back to you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Go ahead, just do that. It's good to speak truth, isn't it? Now, what I've discovered about this particular truth is that it's actually way easier for some of you to say it to somebody else than it is for you to declare it as being true of you. It's way easier for you to sit there and look at somebody else and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a different thing entirely for some of you to be able to say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can we try that, saying that out loud? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's try that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, that's truth. That's truth. And then he goes on and he says, your works are wonderful. Now, what works is he actually talking about in that passage? You. The people that he's created. He looks at you and he says, you're wonderful. Okay, now, that should be good news for you. I hope that that is encouraging for you. But for some of you, there is a challenge believing that. See, often the battleground against us understanding our purpose starts in the destructive soundtracks that are playing in our heads. The lies. Oh, everybody else is fearfully and wonderfully made, but not me. Oh, you may be wonderful, but not me. Oh, friends, these lies need to be erased and replaced with the truth of how God sees us and who we are in Christ. And the reality is, some of us need help with that. You can drop into next after the service and talk to Pastor Heather. We've got all kinds of things, all kinds of opportunities for you to delve into this and come to the place where you can begin to replace some of those lies with the truth of who you are in Christ. And that will actually have a big impact on this notion of purpose. See, your identity, God knows you. He made you. He sees you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says you're wonderful. And then in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I like to personalize that one sometimes too. I know the plans I have for you, Les. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Might be a good thing for you to personalize for yourself. See, the creator of something is always in the best place to describe its purpose. Isn't that true? Now, you've seen something at a garage sale, you've gone to a museum, you've bumped up against something, and the first words out of your mouth or rattling around in your head were, what is that? You have no idea. You look at it, you can't even figure it out. You angles, whatever, it doesn't matter. You have no idea. Where would you figure out what that is and what its purpose is? Talk to the creator. They would be able to tell you right away. It's this simple. This is what it is. This is what it does. Its purpose would be clear. The same is true for God and us. God created us, and He is the one that can best articulate our purpose. Now, there are all kinds of failed attempts to identify our purpose apart from our Creator. Think about what the media does. The objectification of people. In much of the media's messages today, you don't exist for your own purpose, you exist for somebody else's. Sick, really. At best, you're just a cog. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have media telling us that we can be whatever we want. And yet in our heads, the cry that comes out is, but I don't know what I want. I don't know what's right. Doesn't answer the question at all. And so we find ourselves at the base level, when we think about purpose, just trying to survive. Survival becomes that purpose for us. I just got to make it through another day. And if we're fortunate, we can move beyond survival to the idea of success. Perhaps I could be successful in something. Perhaps I could achieve something. Perhaps I could hit a mark. And for those of us that have been involved in that pursuit, we recognize fairly quickly that success in its own right will never give us that sense of accomplishment that we've achieved our purpose. And so now there's this big move to move from success to significance, recognizing that that is yet a different thing. See, your purpose will never be completely clear until you discover who created you and why. Your purpose is linked to your identity. And today, my prayer is that you will have a fresh revelation, maybe a new revelation, of who you are in Christ as a beloved son or daughter called to a life of purpose. What does the Maker say about why He made you, but what your purpose is? Well, let's just start with a passage in 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 19 and 20 says this: Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Well, there's a bit of a purpose statement for you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's within you. Honor God with your body. Kind of links up with something that we talked about a few weeks ago, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, where it asked the question, the first question, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Okay, we're starting to speak about purpose now. Your purpose, to honor God with your bodies, to glorify Him. That's why our mission at FAC is to build lives that honor God. It's a thoroughly biblical mission. It's at the core of our purpose as a church, and it should be at the heart of our understanding of our purpose as individuals. Does life have a purpose? Does your life have a purpose? Yes. And at its most fundamental level, it is to honor God, to glorify God, and to enjoy Him forever. So I want us to take a few minutes and look at this more deeply. What does it look like to have a life that honors God? Well, let's look at one of the things that you were created for. Ephesians 2, verse 10. It's a beautiful passage. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For you are God's handiwork. Now that word that's translated from the original, handiwork, is actually speaking of a poem. It's speaking of this idea of art. And so you see this verse translated different ways. Sometimes it's handiwork. Sometimes it's workmanship. Sometimes it's a work of art. Sometimes it's masterpiece. Wow. Fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows you. He sees you. He says you're wonderful. And now He says, you're my masterpiece. Now, let's be clear about this. There are many people who will describe you as a piece of work. But let's be clear. God describes you as a piece of art, as a masterpiece. Friends, it's important who you listen to. So let's think for a minute about callings. We go back to Psalm 139. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's how intent and purposeful God is when it comes to our lives. And now in this text in Ephesians, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Those two sync up perfectly. See, God created you, and he has placed callings on your life, roles and places where those good works can be lived out. Now, when you look at your life, do you think of yourself as called? Do you wake up in the morning and recognize that God, who made you, has put callings on your life? Places where he wants you to live a fruitful life? Well, let's think about that for a second. Every one of us is a son or a daughter. If you have siblings, you're a brother or a sister. If you're married, you're a husband or a wife. If you have children, you're a mother or a father. You may be a grandma or a grandpa. You may have been drawn into a new family and have a whole new set of family relationships. You're a neighbor, you're a co-worker, you're a teammate, you're a friend. Friend, there's all kinds of callings in our lives. Places where God wants to work out his purposes and produce fruit as a result of our participation with him. These are callings that God places on our lives, and he calls us to live out these callings and to be fruitful, to honor God in the context of each one of these callings. Now, John 15, I think maybe my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. In verse 8 it says this: "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." How do we bring glory to God? We bear fruit. Now, we recognize that that comes out of that abiding relationship that he just talked about, right? If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We pursue lives that honor God. We pursue fruitfulness. Now, there's also a couple of passages in the New Testament that paint a picture of what it means to honor God on a grand scale. Pursuits that all of us are to give ourselves to. We know them as the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Thus far, we've looked at our callings from this horizontal plane, kind of with each other. But first and foremost, it's our relationship with this God that created us that must be at the center. So when Jesus is in a conversation in Matthew 22, and this individual asks this question in verse 36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus answers, friends, we should be listening. Because he says this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Jesus declares the Shema, something that had been spoken down through the generations as at the core of what it means to be one of God's children. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. When you think about purpose, when you think about honoring God, it comes down to loving God and loving people. But then we link with that this other amazing passage, this idea of the Great Commission. Love actually drives us to this. This idea of loving God and loving people, it helps us understand that it's more than just works and fruit, that our relationship is tied to an intimate relationship with God. A place where, like in John 15 again, in verse 15, Jesus says something that's actually stunning. He says, "I call you my friends." The God of the universe is calling us friends. And then again, he links it to this idea of fruit. So we move on to the Great Commission, Matthew 28. It's an interesting thing because recently Barna did research in the U.S. and what they discovered was that many people that go to church don't even know what the Great Commission is. They didn't know where you would find it. They had no idea what it was talking about. Somewhere along the line in the church, we fouled things up. We failed when we don't know what the Great Commission is. But in Matthew 28, verse 18, we see one of the renditions of it. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The imperative in the Great Commission is making disciples. What it's really saying is, as you go, make disciples. How do you do that? By baptizing and teaching. But the imperative is the making of disciples. So how do we honor God? By loving God, loving people, and making disciples. This is tied to this sense of purpose. So here at FAC, when we think about the biblical imperative of loving God, of loving people, of making disciples, of having a life that honors God, we've identified several things that we believe are essential for us to live out our purpose, our callings. We call them our life commitments. We believe that to have a life that honors God, you need to be connected with God and each other. It's actually essential. You need to be growing into Christ-likeness. You need to serve Jesus by serving other people. And you need to share Jesus Christ and His love wherever God places you. You connect, you grow, you serve, and you share. And built into our mission statement is this idea of honor, this idea of experiencing the living God. We don't want to just talk about Him. We don't want to just think about Him. We don't want to just gather information about Him. We want to have a vital experience with Him. You were led in one of those this morning in such a beautiful way. It's powerful. It's essential that we give attention to the environments, the spaces that will help us make progress in understanding and living out our purpose. So what do these things look like? Well, if you've been around here at all, you know what Connect stands for. Connect is this idea of us being in small groups together. We're not going to stop talking about it until happiness is achieved. And happiness for us is everybody's in a small group. Because we believe we're better connected in community. Connecting with God and connecting with each other. And then this idea of growing. All kinds of experiences and discipleship opportunities. It includes that notion of being connected to the church in membership, of being baptized. Serving. We're going to come back to this one in a moment. You've already heard a couple of times that we have a big serve fair today. So we'll talk a bit more about this. And then share. It's taking advantages of the opportunities that God gives us personally and locally and globally to live out and share the good news with those around us. Now, there's also this thing of honor. Experiencing the living God in our fellowship with other believers in small groups and the weekend gathering. It's interesting to me, we now live in a culture that sees gathering together as optional. It's something that we do when it's convenient, when we can fit it in. And I just want to say that our ambivalence to corporate worship is hurting us, and it will make it harder for us to live on mission. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 gives us a beautiful corrective here when we think about this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Friend, if there was anything that we should be doing more of, it's gathering together, spurring one another on to love and to good works. We should be doing more of that, not less. Connect, grow, and honor. We're always meant to live in a complementary, symbiotic relationship with serve and share. It'll be hard to stay focused and energized for serving and sharing if we're not connected, growing, and honoring. But if we just focus on connect and grow and honor, we miss the point that they are in fact supposed to be catalytic and supportive to serving and sharing. When you're engaged in serving and sharing, you need connection and growth in the worship gathering. But if you come to church on the weekend and you get connected and you grow just for you, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. Because it's so much more than that. It's a renewing. It's a launching. It's all of those things. These life commitments must be lived out in harmony. They need each other and they fuel each other. So let's come back to serve for a minute. We're having a serve fair this weekend to help each of us think through how we can invest in ministry here at FAC. What does that have to do with purpose? Well, God says that we're all part of the body of Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. That means all, y'all. Every single one of us. And then Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 12 to describe the body and the complementary and essential nature of all the parts working together. This sounds like a calling to me. This sounds like there's an element of our purpose attached here. It sounds to me like this is how we honor God. See, one of the things that we're going to do, that we are doing to invest in purpose, is helping each of us discover our shape. It's an acronym. And it's an integral piece of figuring out our purpose, because we need to discover how we are uniquely wired. How did God make me? And what's the part that He wants me to play in the body and in the world? So SHAPE stands for discovering your spiritual gifts, knowing your heart, your passions, your abilities, your personality, your experiences. And as you become comfortable with and understand all those different elements that make you up, it begins to give you clarity in your purpose. Now, we have an online assessment that you can take that will help you become more comfortable with your God-given shape. One of the things that puzzles me, it's an attitude that I keep bumping into. I hear from people that they don't need to engage in the resources that we're developing to help us live on purpose because they've been coming to the church for a long time. It's like that somehow gives you a pass. I'm puzzled. We hear it when talking to people about attending Next Steps, which is our foundational equipping environment for helping us to come to grips with our purpose. And we also hear it when we talk about SHAPE. Oh, I've come to the church for a long time. I don't need to do that. Well, with all due respect, there are many people in our church, many of whom have been attending for a long time, that still don't understand their purpose. And this can help with that. So here's the question. Let's just put aside how long we've been coming to the church for a second and answer the question. Do you know your shape? Your spiritual gifts, your heart passions, your abilities, your personality, your experiences, and how all of these elements work together. They fit together to make you uniquely you. And they unlock the contribution that God wants you to make. Do you know your purpose? So our pathway to discovery is actually really simple. I think we can all wrap our heads around this. The first step is that you have to surrender to the Maker. You have to actually acknowledge that the one who made you knows why He made you and embrace that. Now, if you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower this morning, then that requires ongoing recommitments. We call it sanctification. Regularly just recommitting ourselves to His purposes, His will. What He wants to see accomplished in our lives. Recognizing that we need to give Him the right to lead and guide in our lives. If you're here or you're watching online and you've never really come to grips with the fact that you have a Maker, then that first surrender is that. Coming to Jesus and saying, "I need you. I need you. I've been trying to figure out purpose on my own, and it is not working. Forgive me for not paying attention to you and your voice. I want to turn from doing things my own way, and I want to follow you. So I invite you into my life as Savior. I surrender my life to you as Lord. Thank you that I can have this amazing sense of purpose and life as my life is brought into relationship with you. Friend, you could pray that right now. I've been trying to figure out life on my own. I'm sorry, forgive me. I turn from going my own way and I follow you. I invite you into my life as Savior. I surrender my life to you as Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You created me for life, for relationship, and for purpose. And I receive that. Once those surrenders are in play, then it's this awareness of callings and our God-given shape. And then it's simply living it out. Living out those purposes that God has placed before us. Now, here's the first of two next steps for you to take this morning. Or in the next couple of days. You can launch into either or both of them right away. The first is to go to the app, the FAC Experience app, or onto our website, or if you're watching on Facebook Live, there'll be a link pop up in the dialogue, and it'll get pinned there for you, to go to the shape assessment. And you can take 30 to 60 minutes and run through a series of questions, and it will help you understand all those different elements of how God has shaped you. And I would encourage you to take that step. It will be a beautiful time of discovery for you as you begin to uncover, to understand how God has uniquely wired you for His purposes in your life. Now, when you take that assessment, it actually does something pretty fun. It gives you the opportunity to put in a second email address. So in addition to receiving the information yourself, you can send the information to somebody else and then have a conversation with them. And if you want, our people on our serve team would love to have a conversation with you about your shape. And so if you want to put their email address in as that second email address, it's this, shape@faccalgary.com. So if you take the shape inventory and you put in shape@faccalgary.com as the second email address, it'll come to our serve team and they'll help you. They'll walk through this with you. They would love to do that. The second thing that you can do today is that we have bought hundreds of copies of this book. And it's got a very relevant title. What on earth am I here for? It's perfect. And this book is set up to have 40 days of brief, focused activity to help you discover your purpose. We love this resource, and we would love it to see you pick this up at the bookstore and take it, and as an individual or as a couple or as a family or as a small group, spend the next 40 days and work on discovering more fully your purpose. What on earth you are here for? 40 brief experiences that will all drive towards the answer to that question. There's additional resources if you want to take advantage of them. There's also a couple of days added now to help deal with some of the traps that get in our way when it comes to living a life on purpose. Friends, here's the deal. The question of the day, does life have a purpose? Yes. Yes. The one who created you has plans and works for you to step into. He wants to have a deep and abiding relationship with you. You're His friend. There's a sense of purpose, yes. I think it would be incredible if hundreds of us spent the next 40 days discovering our purpose and having conversations about that, using this as a tool. There are thousands of us that call FAC home. Imagine what happens if increasingly we all know our shape. We're discovering and living out our God-given purpose, God will be honored and lives will be changed. Ours and those around us. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing reality that you have created us, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are in fact a masterpiece, and that you have built into each of our lives this unique way that you want us to contribute both in the body and in the world, that you want us to be fruitful, that you want us to have this deep abiding relationship with you, one that's so cool that you, the God of the universe, would call us your friends. Oh, Father, I pray that in the days ahead, all of us will pursue the answer to this question. And we will come to the place of increasing clarity that we will be able to say to the question of, does life have a purpose? Yes. And I'm actually making progress in figuring it out. That's exciting. So Spirit of the Living God, lead and guide. Help us to discover all that you have for us. We're so excited about this adventure of life that you are calling us into. And we want to be in step with you. In Jesus' name, amen.